gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere, stephaniemiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there, executive producer Chris Lavoie, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. This hour of the Stephanie Miller Show is brought to you by Patriot Majority. Patriot Majority believes it is our patriotic duty as Americans to pass health care reform now with a strong public plan option.
Especially now.
Yes. We also dedicate this hour to Senator Ted Kennedy, who passed away early this morning. We are waiting for the president to speak live, so we will go to that as soon as he does. I'm sure you remember Ted Kennedy from the Democratic convention this year.
And this is the cause of my life, new hope, that we will break the old gridlock and guarantee that every American, north, south, east, west, young, old, will have decent quality health care as a fundamental right and not a privilege.
Wow.
And nice if they had done that while he was still alive.
Yeah. Wow. And the story of how he was able to do that, you know, with oxygen and all that stuff, the reason that he was able to show up and
speak for Barack Obama. Well, he had kidney stones. He was in incredible pain during that whole thing.
Yeah.
But he...
Yep. All right. His good friend, Senator John McCain...
The solution proposed by the Democrats, in my view, will destroy the quality of health care in America.
It's already destroyed, you jerk.
All right. God. And, of course, the breaking, what do you call it, torture scandal. Dick Cheney, why he popped his head up from the underworld. You remember it back in 2009.
I know specifically of reports that I read, that I saw, that lay out what we learned through the interrogation process and what the consequences were for the country.
Yeah.
Says,
as it turns out.
Trust me. No, you don't need to see the documents.
Those reports show nothing of the kind.
You don't need any testimony under oath by me or the president over 9/11.
Jim, this is what you were saying.
These
are
not the droids you're looking for.
This is what you've been saying the whole time, by the way, is that, you know, that's the thing. You can go, we got intelligence from X, from detainee, fill in the blank here. Well, we got it before we tortured them. So, of course, you can go, see these people we tortured. We got evidence. Well,
all the information was available on Al Jazeera before we started doing that.
Yeah. So, you know, so he's the only one that connected the dots that, torture produced this intelligence.
Right.
All right. So lots to get to this morning. We are waiting for the president. He was supposed to speak about a half an hour ago or so.
About 40 minutes ago.
Okay, give him a break.
This is the first time he's done that.
Yeah.
And he's probably figuring out what the heck he's going to say in the light of the fact that we didn't get it passed. Well, Ted Kennedy was still around.
Well, and Chris, you were saying that a lot of the media in Massachusetts actually focusing on what's next in terms of...
Yeah, because they have a 5-month campaign now to look forward to.
Right.
They're focusing on how they're going to replace him rather than, you know, focusing on the legacy of Ted Kennedy, which is what the national media is doing.
Yeah, right. And I don't know what the chances are. I mean, obviously the letter that Senator Kennedy wrote to lawmakers in Massachusetts asking them to change the law to expedite them getting a new senator. Yeah,
they can't do that now, so they have to go through the special election.
Yeah. All right. You know, unfortunately, some more depressing news, speaking of the cause of Senator Kennedy's life, health care. We've still got... I think that, you know, I was actually really inspired by Congressman Ellison yesterday. There are a lot of people, really good people, that are still fighting this fight and, you know, are very hopeful about getting real health care reform. But we still got work to do. I mean, there's another study they've done about the majority of Americans believe health care reform myths.
Yeah.
Meaning there are a majority of people that still believe a lot of these lies. And that's the thing. A lot of people are happy to have a real debate about this, but you have to have one set of facts first. More than 50% of Americans believe a public insurance option will increase health care costs, according to a new survey.
And that moon landing was fake.
Yeah.
But wrestling's real.
They did a survey on indicating whether or not they believe 19 claims about health care reform, each of which are they're giant lies. These myths that the right wing are putting out. The study scientists said it's perhaps not surprising that more Republicans believe these things than Democrats.
Mm-hmm. Huh. That's
yes.
shocking.
Like the majority of Fox News viewers believe that Iraq was behind 9/11 and we found weapons of mass destruction there. And
whatever.
67% of respondents believe that wait times for healthcare services such as surgery will increase. About 5 of 10 believe the federal government will become directly involved in making personal healthcare decisions. 6 out of 10 Americans believe taxpayers will be required to pay for abortions. 46% believe reforms will result in healthcare coverage for all illegal immigrants. 54% believe the public option will increase premiums for Americans with private health insurance. 5 out of 10 think cuts will be made to Medicare in order to cover more Americans.
Also, the fossil record was placed there by God to test our faith. There weren't ever no dinosaurs.
All of those
did not happen.
FYI.
Computer says no.
No.
No. And no. The world was created in 6 days, 20 years ago, on a Tuesday.
Thank you, Rush Limbaugh. And furthermore,
you're a lying sack of crap. You're a lying sack of crap. You're a lying, steaming, stinking, nasty sack of liquid crap.
Also, blue monkeys are flying out my butt as we speak.
Blue ones.
Those questions were not added to the survey, but I'm sure the majority would have said yes. Yes. I believe that. Okay. Sean Hannity says it every night, so it must be true.
Mm.
Can I have some fine American music in honor of Senator Kennedy this morning while we wait for the president to speak? Of all the stuff I've read about healthcare, because you talk about the lies coming out of the right wing, and we've talked about this over and over, this constant fear-mongering about how awful healthcare is everywhere else, except here in America, where we have the best healthcare in the world.
Right.
Computer says no.
BS.
If you are a fine American, that you really want us to, that to be true. You really want us to have the best healthcare in the world. But
it is for some people.
Yes. Listen to these not-so-fun facts, and you... fairly tell me what this... this is the other thing, is we've tried to correct this half the time. Every day, how many calls do we take every day from people that have actually had health care in other countries?
Yep.
That include, I took a jart in the eye at 3 a.m., the doctor came to my house, and it cost a penny. That's essentially the... Okay.
I think that's a little bit hyperbolic.
Okay.
Just a tad. But.
I'm summing up.
Okay.
Five myths about healthcare around the world. Number one, it's all socialized medicine out there. Not so, FYI, GTK. Mm-hmm. Some countries such as Britain, New Zealand, and Cuba do provide healthcare in government hospitals with the government paying the bills. Others, for instance, Canada and Taiwan, rely on private sector providers paid for by government-run insurance. But many wealthy countries, including Germany, the Netherlands, Japan, and Switzerland, provide universal coverage using private doctors, private hospitals, and private insurance plans. Here's a little FYI.
Okay.
The U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs, one of the planet's purest examples of actual government-run
yes.
healthcare,
yes.
of actual socialized medicine.
They
much
own
more,
the hospitals.
Yes.
They pay the doctors.
Much more so than any of those other countries.
Right.
Yes, that are called, okay.
And we know what a disaster that is.
Uh-huh. Number two, overseas care is rationed through limited choices or long lines. Generally, no.
Computer says no.
Germans can sign up for any of the nation's 200 private health insurance plans, a broader choice than any American has. If a German doesn't like their insurance company, you can switch to another with no increase in premium. How about that? The Swiss, too, can choose any insurance plan in the country. In France and Japan, you don't get a choice of insurance provider. You have to use the one designated for your company or your industry. But patients can go to any doctor, any hospital, any traditional healer. There are no U.S.-style limits, such as in-network lists of doctors or pre-authorization for surgery.
What a bunch of commies.
You pick any doctor, you get treatment, and insurance has to pay. How about that? Canadians have their choice of providers. In Austria and Germany, if a doctor diagnoses a person as stressed, medical insurance pays for weekends at a health spa.
Yeah.
Does your plan include that? No, probably not.
Computer says no.
That might be a little excessive, though.
Studies by the Commonwealth Fund.
Weekend at a spa?
But it works. Stress kills.
Just ignore him.
Oh, I think the plan we have now is perfect.
Did I say that? God.
Studies by the Commonwealth Fund and others report that many nations, we talked about this study last
week. I wouldn't have this permanent twitch in my eye if I got that.
Exactly.
If you got a weekend spa treatment every weekend?
Yeah.
Okay.
Other surveys, including the Commonwealth Fund, say Germany, Britain, Austria outperform the U.S. on measures such as waiting times for appointments and for elective surgeries. So the waiting time thing is... as well. Mm-hmm. In Japan, waiting times are so short, most patients don't bother to make an appointment. How about that? The writer of this article says he was in a surgeon's office. The surgeon recommended an operation. When can we do it? I asked. The doctor checked and said, oh, tomorrow's tough. How about next week? Number three, foreign healthcare systems are inefficient, bloated bureaucracies. That's the other healthcare myth frequently told by our friends on the right.
Yeah.
much
where we
less,
have a bloated bureaucracy.
Yes, much less so than here. It may seem to Americans that U.S.-style free enterprise, private sector, for-profit health insurance is naturally the most cost-effective way to pay for health care. But in fact, all the other payment systems are more efficient than ours. U.S. health insurance companies have the highest administrative costs in the world. They spend roughly 20 cents of every dollar for non-medical costs, such as paperwork, reviewing claims, and marketing. Marketing this to you. So that you go!
And a lot of that money is spent denying care to people.
Thank you.
Figuring out ways to screw you out of what you pay for.
France's health insurance industry, in contrast, covers everybody and spends about 4% on administration. The world champion at controlling medical costs, Japan, even though it's aging population, they go to the doctor 15 times a year. They have twice as many MRIs, x-rays, yada, yada. And yet Japan spends $3,400 per person annually on health care. The U.S. spends more than $7,000. The number four health care myth about health care overseas. Cost controls stifle innovation. False! The U.S. is home to groundbreaking medical research, but so are other countries which with much lower cost structures. In the U.S., an MRI scan of the neck region costs about $1,500. In Japan, the identical scan costs $98. Number five, health insurance has to be cruel. Not really.
Computer says no.
American health insurance companies routinely reject applicants with a pre-existing condition, precisely the people most likely to need the insurer's service. They employ armies of adjusters to deny claims. If a customer is hit by a truck and faces big medical bills, the insurer's rescission department digs through the records looking for grounds to cancel the policy, often while a victim is still in the hospital. The companies say they do this stuff because they have to survive in a tough business. Foreign health insurance companies, in contrast, must accept all applicants, and they can't cancel as long as you pay your premiums. The plans are required to pay any claim submitted by a doctor or hospital, usually within tight time limits. How about that?
Yep.
The key difference is that foreign health insurance plans exist only to pay people's medical bills, not to make a profit.
That's what I've been saying.
Huh. Interesting idea.
Insurance companies should never be for-profit companies.
The U.S. is the only developed country that lets insurance companies profit from basic health coverage. Only. The only one.
Yes.
FYI. The fragmentation of our healthcare system, another reason we spend more than anybody else and still leave millions without coverage. All the other developed countries have settled on one model for healthcare delivery and finance. We've blended them all into a costly, confusing, bureaucratic mess, which in turn punctures the most persistent myth of all that America has the finest healthcare in the world. We don't. In terms of results, almost all advanced countries have better national healthcare statistics than the U.S. does.
Yes, civilized countries.
In terms of finance, we force 700,000 Americans into bankruptcy each year because of medical bills.
France, we're number one!
In France, the number of medical bankruptcies, zero. Britain, zero. Japan, zero. Germany, zero. Given our remarkable medical assets, the best educated doctors and nurses, the most advanced hospitals, world-class research, the U.S. Can and should be the best in the world. To get there, though, we have to be willing to learn some lessons about healthcare administration from other industrialized democracies. Thank you, whoever wrote this article. Thank you.
But they were a Nazi health plan.
Thank you.
It's Nazi. Hitler, Nazi, commie.
Christopher Lavoie, will you put that up at the website? At the StephanieMiller.com.
Send
that to your right-wing friends.
Could I have it, please?
You send it to me.
Oh, all right.
I think you might have it.
Well, I'd like to see exactly which one it is.
There's a thing called a scent file. I'll show it to you during the break. 20 minutes after the hour, waiting for the president to speak live on the passing of Senator Ted Kennedy this morning as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's positively delightful.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 24 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Comedian Hal Sparks joins us live in studio in hour number three.
Hal Sparks.
comedian extraordinaire, live in all of hour number three. We are waiting for the president to speak. He is actually speaking at 9:30 Eastern Time, coming up in about 5 or 10 minutes on the passing of Senator Ted Kennedy. Let's go to Peggy in Fairfax, Virginia. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hi, Stephanie and the Mooks. This
Hello.
Is such a pleasure.
Thank you, Peggy.
I called to say that I was at a town hall meeting last night with Jim Moran, who is not my congressperson, but...
Love him.
But I was, well, you know who was fabulous? Howard Dean was there.
Oh, wow.
He was fabulous. But I want to say, and also in the crowd screaming with many of the screamers was Randall Terry.
Yeah.
Screaming out baby killer. But I just want to say that so many of these people acted like
I'm sorry, that had what to do with the health care debate exactly?
I don't know. Okay. Now, I don't know, but he was there and they had to usher him out. But really, people, there was this constant yelling and screaming from people. I mean, really, I had a headache when I left. To say that they act like two-year-olds are being kind.
Yeah.
I mean, I
are you sure they weren't screaming for Randall Terry to sing, much like he did outside Terry Schiavo's hospice? Because, you know, he's quite the crooner.
When I feel the waves crash over me.
Jim, you're a singer. He needs to learn some sort of breath control, doesn't he? Seems a little reedy for a dude. A little pitchy dog. All right. President Obama was talking, told a Ted Kennedy story earlier this year.
There's a story Ted Kennedy sometimes tells. It's about a boy who sees an old man tossing starfish stranded by a receding tide back into the sea. There are so many, asks the boy. What difference can your efforts possibly make? The old man studies the starfish in his hand and tosses it to safety, saying, it makes a difference to that one. For nearly half a century, Ted Kennedy has been walking that beach, making a difference for that soldier fighting for freedom, that refugee looking for a way home, that senior searching for dignity, that worker striving for opportunity, that student aspiring to college, that family reaching for the American dream. The life of Senator Edward M. Kennedy has made a difference for us all.
All right. The president released a statement this morning about, obviously, his sadness over Kennedy's passing, but he will be speaking in just a few minutes. In the meantime, this healthcare debate, John Boehner, who, as you know, adds so much to this discussion, he will answer questions in the town hall. It's sponsored by the Tea Party people.
Oh,
and
really?
They have also kindly invited Nancy Pelosi, who I'm sure would be happy to show up to a, because I'm sure they'll be very polite to her, very polite. And,
Nazi, Connie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
baby killer,
I'm sure that would be a very productive session if she were to. Be a lot of Botox jokes, a lot of things like that yelled at her, I'm sure. Oh, which by the way, Jim is already saying, I'm sure we can do tomorrow's edition of What the Fox right now, as you'll hear a bunch of snarky kind of Chappaquiddick jokes and things like that. If you tune over to Right Wing Radio today. You watched Fox News this morning?
Yeah, just to see what they were doing. Uh-huh. And, they had the Death of Senator Ted Kennedy on their crawl. Yeah, but they were talking about the missing girl.
Ah, missing white women. Uh-huh.
Well, she wasn't white, but...
Oh, really?
Yes.
Wow. Well, that's something. That's a bit of a different...
I know. That was their breaking news.
Wow.
That she wasn't white.
Mm-hmm. Huh. 28 minutes after the hour, right back with the president speaking live, hopefully, as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
For all those whose cares have been our concern, the work goes on, the cause endures, the hope still lives, and the dream shall never die.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. We mourn the passing of Senator Ted Kennedy, waiting for the president to speak live about that. 33 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone
Kennedy
number.
Ted Kennedy might very well have been president in 1980, if not for Chappaquiddick.
Yeah.
And the world would be a better place for it.
By the by, I didn't know this, but you remember the clip you just played, that amazing speech that he came, which was a big surprise.
Yeah.
Well, that speech, but I mean, when he showed up at this past Democratic convention.
Yes.
He spoke of his own illness, as you remember, and said healthcare was the cause of his life. His death occurred precisely 1 year later, almost to the hour from that.
That's wild.
And it was 2 weeks, less than 2 weeks after the death of his sister, Eunice Kennedy Shriver, and a lot of, obviously, the speculation at that time, because he didn't go to the funeral, is that his own health was obviously so precarious at that point. I know, I kept having some fantasy that maybe he would have some sort of rally to be able to vote for health care, but that's like my That's the movie version that unfortunately didn't happen. Larry in Indiana, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, Larry.
Hi. I'm a big fan of the show, but a strong conservative. Nonetheless, I listen and love it. There's so many layers to this, I don't want to overcomplicate it, but I'm a truck driver, and I was in Boston all day, around Boston all day Monday, 2 days ago, when the issue of how to replace Kennedy, the understanding being that he would die quite soon, just came public. It just was bursting on the public because of the letter that that Kennedy or his office sent to the Massachusetts Senate, saying, let's go back to letting the governor, Governor Patrick Duvall, appoint a successor. It was clear that, And, you know, that John Kennedy, the president, John Kennedy, could not be senator years and years ago. He wasn't old enough yet. So his college roommate was appointed to the Senate to hold the seat. And that happens in politics. I'm not criticizing. I'm just saying it's a fact of life, right? And had that not happened, John Kennedy might not have had the position to, you know, catapult into the presidency. There's a personal thing, though, that I'm really stung by. Unless I'm mistaken, I'm no historian, but Joe Kennedy was the son, the first son in the family, and was killed in World War II, unless I'm mistaken. And all the stories, for instance, NPR this morning, very moving, very beautiful tributes and sketches of his life, mentioned that he had two brothers killed. Well, that doesn't count Joe Kennedy.
Two brothers assassinated.
But they're saying he had the tragedy. I would think the first tragedy was having his older brother killed in the war.
Yeah, well, they've had more than their share of tragedy. Anyway, Larry, thanks for calling.
Tragedy of Shakespearean proportions.
Where are the, boy, I wish there were more conservatives out there like Larry. Former First Lady Nancy Reagan, by the way, said in a statement that her husband and Kennedy could always find common ground and they had great respect for each other. She added that she considers Kennedy an ally and a dear friend. I will miss him. I'm sure in honor of their hero, Ronald Reagan, I'm sure Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity will be very kind today. As and classy as Nancy Reagan was.
Even Orrin Hatch, you know, fought him tooth and nail on legislation.
They got along
They got along really, really well, and they respected the hell out of each other.
It's you know, and it can't be overspoken. I think how would this debate be different if Ted Kennedy, you know, had been able to be in the thick of this? But oh, I still hope we can pull this out, and maybe we have him, you know, working on the other side now, which will help. I don't know. Fred in Concord, New Hampshire, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hi. I just wanted to let you know about a small win. I was over at the post office yesterday, and outside there were two Lyndon LaRouche morons with signs showing Obama looking like Hitler and passing out literature and basically telling all kinds of misinformation, saying that, you know, the old people are going to suffer the most. They're going to be rationing health care, and they're going to be death panels. I mean, all the scare tactics. And I just lost it. I saw those morons with this big sign, and we just had a big screaming match. It was kind of comical because I drew a crowd at the same time.
Oh boy, just what we need, more screaming at the town halls.
I said, you know what? I said, you got a right to stay here. However, you don't have the right to put that kind of inflammatory signs out there. And I said, if you don't get rid of it, I'm calling the police.
Good for you. Good for you. All right. Hey, by the way, you know, speaking of Ronald Reagan, Nancy Reagan talking about how close he and Ted Kennedy were, or, you know, how much respect they had for each other. Remember the win-win for the Gipper? We have to come up with some phrase for getting health care reform for Teddy. Work on that. Get back to me.
Ms. Miller.
Tom in Indiana, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hi, Steph. Love you.
Love you back.
All fair and balanced over there this morning. They couldn't just report on the death of Senator Kennedy. They had to put it in perspective, which it just really irked me, because it's like, we can't just report the news. We're going to tell you what we think about it, you know?
Right.
When it should be, you know, news first, and that's what they say. That's their credo. But I really think with this, it's going to be a case of, you know, we're not going to know what we've lost until it's gone. I was born the year he entered the Senate, and it's just, I'm just really sad today about it.
Yep, absolutely. It's a tough day for people like Fox News. Did I ever tell you the story when the day Barry Goldwater died and I was hosting Equal Time with Babe Buchanan on CNBC?
Right.
And you know, I obviously we did a little tribute to him, sure, at the end of the show, and I said, you know, I said something like, you know, Bay, he in later life, which is just part of the truth of his life, I said he became very pro-gay rights and pro-choice on, mm-hmm, the Senate floor, talked about the undue influence of the religious right on the Republican Party, and I swear to God, she said, yeah, well, we had a couple, few good years there with Barry. I don't know what happened to him. Like the other half of his life didn't count because, you know, he didn't agree with them on issues later on. I mean, it's just,
yeah.
Okay.
That's the way conservatives
are. Oh, by the
way,
Fox News, you can tell they're afraid of our friend Congressman Joe Sestak.
Why?
Did you see they have one of those little Chiron malfunctions, Jim, that they tend to have from time to time? It was said Representative Joke Sestak. I'm sure that was just
Yeah.
Yeah, because that's so easy to do.
That was some sort
Why? Just the way when Republicans get into trouble, suddenly they have a D behind their name.
Yeah.
You know, with all of the mistakes that their Chiron department has made, why hasn't that person been fired?
Probably got a raise.
Yeah, are you kidding?
That's probably Roger Ailes himself doing
good
it.
Good one. Good. Exactly. The great and powerful Oz is back there himself. Yeah.
Oh, by the way, that five healthcare myths about care around the world, that's been posted up in the Twitter feed right there on the front page of StephanieMiller.com.
That's my favorite section of StephanieMiller.com. Have I ever been there?
No. You don't. Did you even know that the Twitter feed was on the front page of StephanieMiller.com?
No.
No? Okay.
What's a Twitter?
Okay. All right. Wow. Senator Kennedy has to be spinning already with his good friend John McCain and his thoughts on health care.
The, quote, public option, to whatever degree it is, in my view, is the beginning of the end of private health insurance in America.
Okay. Senator McCain again on the health
care. I am convinced the president is absolutely sincere in his beliefs, but he is... Wait a minute. He is sincere in his beliefs. We just happen to disagree, and he is the president of the United States, and let's be respectful.
No, he's not sincere. Don't disagree. I'm shouting, and I don't know why.
He's an Arab.
What a bunch of morons.
Okay.
My God.
You know, at least McCain was kind of gracious.
Trying.
Yeah.
Trying.
Unlike some of the other Republican loons.
Remember the Arab thing, though, during the campaign, how he made that like 100 times worse?
Well, yeah.
He's an Arab! Ma'am, no. No, he's a decent family man. Oh, no.
Oh,
no.
Let me rephrase that.
Oh, my bigotry showing. Okay. Some more from the McCain town hall.
No compromises! No compromises! No compromises!
Oh,
no compromises!
Oh,
Senator, nuke it now. Thank you.
Okay.
I'm glad I called on you, ma'am. Thank you very much. Thank you. Could I just say, look, on this issue, and really, let's have some straight talk here, my friends. Let's have some real straight talk. The system is broken.
Well, at least he recognizes that. That's a start.
Nuke it! All right.
No, the system's perfect.
Yeah, that's wow. That's a coherent conversation on health care reform. Yeah. All right. 42 minutes after the hour, the president due to speak now. It's being reported at 45 minutes after the hour. Currently
in about 3 minutes. So,
all right,
we'll break now.
Be back with that on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Wow. Yes. Yes. I love it.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 47 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Still waiting for the president to speak live on the passing of Senator Ted Kennedy this morning. Oh, we have Alicia, a new listener from Michigan who's confused by the show. Hi, Alicia. Welcome.
Hello.
Hello.
Okay, I told your screener I'm a little confused on the theme of the show.
Uh-huh.
Is it political, or it sounds like a... something like a comedy show with all the sound effects and, you know.
Sound effects?
I, Yeah, you have all these little sound effects mm-hmm. with the bells and all that. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. instead of doing, I was wondering, why do you do that? I mean, instead of doing the sound effects and the little uh-huh. voiceovers or whatever you do, why not just stick to the facts?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's actually, it is facts with slide whistle.
Yeah, like that.
Mm-hmm. I know, I didn't do that. I don't know who did that.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. That's what I mean. Yeah,
maybe
like
maybe that's on your end. Are you sure that's not at your house?
I'm not at, I'm in my car right now.
Oh.
So, and the reason I you're
see.
Right
you would, you would
American...
like your facts without sound effects is what you're saying.
Yes.
Okay. All right, I will work on that.
I mean,
thank you.
That's just my opinion. But, okay. And one thing, I don't know if you just if you touched on it or not, but the Casper Clunkers
yes.
deal that was going on.
Mm-hmm.
Well, according well, we heard it here. I don't know what city you're in, but
Los Angeles.
Okay, the $4,500 that people got mm-hmm. now they have to pay tax on that and consider it income.
Mm-hmm.
Did you mention that?
No. Actually, the money goes directly to the dealers. It doesn't go right. directly to the yeah. to people.
No, I realize that. But the fact is that the person who is actually getting the money...
But, no, they don't get the money.
They don't get the money.
The money goes to the dealer.
The
money never
no.
goes
yeah,
out
Alicia,
of pocket.
Alicia, you know what? As much as you hate the sound effects, you need to stay on this station because you probably heard that on a right-wing station. And this is the station.
Well, you're assuming that.
Okay.
No,
this is the station you get the actual facts, even if they come with slide whistle. I'm just saying you don't even get the money. So that was incorrect.
I didn't say what station I was listening to. I didn't say it was.
All right. Well, I want you to break the knob off your radio right now and just leave it right here. All right? Because we're new friends.
That's not going to happen. Mm. I'm a Rush Limbaugh and John Hannity fan.
See, you know, that's your problem.
Okay.
That's your problem.
Exactly.
All right, Alicia. Okay.
They're lying
they
to
don't,
you.
And they don't have slide whistle, Alicia.
Exactly. And you're getting lies. You're getting lies, not facts.
See, it sounds like a comedy show.
I know it. It is, sort of. You
yeah,
just,
I know.
Mm-hmm.
And you're part of it.
You just,
oh, come on.
This is did you see the movie Borat?
You insult people because I don't agree with your opinion.
No,
no.
I'm not insulting you.
It's not
you.
An opinion
exactly.
about
exactly.
the money. They're
see,
lying
and,
to you about
you know,
it.
You I've been listening, and you've
no,
been
I'm,
very
I'm not insulting you.
Caller.
I'm just telling you that is a lie, that the money doesn't even go to the person. It goes to the dealer. So that's a lie if someone's saying...
But the person has to actually get the money. Yes,
no, they
the
don't.
It goes directly to the
it
dealer.
Goes, yes, it does go directly to the dealer.
Alicia,
but,
come to the
dealer
line.
The dealer is not accepting... Oh, you just don't get it.
Come to the light.
The dealer's not accepting
Kool-Aid. Bye, thanks a lot.
Alicia, what do you mean?
The dealer's not accepting what?
Oh, she's gone. She doesn't want to hear the truth.
It's your fault for playing that too much.
She didn't memorize the talking points. She was going off the cuff, and she forgot the part of it. You take your Kool-Aid!
Click.
Yes.
If
you know, I don't know about you too, but
to
that came as a great shock to me that she is a Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity aficionado.
What a surprise.
Hmm. All right.
If it's going directly to the dealer.
You know, if it were me, I would put up with a slide whistle to get the actual facts.
It's not income. Oh, boy.
I would rather have facts with slide whistle than lies with no sound effects. That's just me.
That should be our new slogan. The Stephanie Miller Show. Facts with slide whistle.
I sense a new... Jim, go ahead. Do
fact
the line.
Whistle.
Go ahead. Jim,
the
do
Stephanie
the line.
Miller Show. Facts with slide whistles.
Thank you.
Okay.
And
thank
targets.
You, Alicia. She just coined a new liner for us. All right.
And explosions and breaking glass.
What is she talking about? Too many sound effects. Ridiculous. Ken and Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hey, Stephanie. I love you.
Thank
I
you.
I love to laugh in the morning.
Thank you. I don't think she saw the movie Borat, but she didn't realize that she had become part of the comedy show.
No, and I just have one thing to say to Alicia.
Get off my phone!
Get off my phone!
Exactly!
Get off my phone!
She says we insult people that call? What about your right-wing friends? You ever call Glenn Beck?
Get off the phone! And in case you're not aware, that is actually Glenn Beck screeching.
Yes.
I
thought we were nice to her.
I thought we were, too.
We were playing with her a little bit like a cat toy, but still we were giving her the facts. Yeah. We were trying to help.
She wasn't having any of it. No. She thought we were drinking Kool-Aid.
Tim and Madison.
No, we're drinking vodka.
That's Tim and Madison, completely. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. I think I could have made a friend, Chris. You ruined it. Tim and Madison.
I friend as well, but vodka and Kool-Aid's really good.
It is. Really it is. In college, we used to drink it all the time.
Oh, that's why I learned how to drink it.
Yep.
You know, if Alicia's going to call up and do the talking points, Alicia has to remember them. She completely fumbled them completely. And I bought a car with cash for clunkers.
Uh-huh.
Thank you. No, I didn't get a $4,500 check. They just took that up the price of the car.
That's right.
Yes.
It was a great little thing. It's like an extra little rebate.
Hmm. Yes.
Think funny, about Sean. That. I didn't get a check for $45. The dealer gets that. So who cares? I mean, if
what she's saying, I think what she's trying to say, which I smell big fat right wing lie, don't you, Jim?
Uh-huh.
Is that people are being taxed on the rebate they got, which I don't. That's
not true.
You can't get taxed on the rebate. And first of all, you know, another one I heard is that we're going to raise the price on used cars because we're trying to get rid of a lot of cars. That's not true either. I haven't seen a single raise in price in the local dealers around here.
Right. Right. That smells like your typical big fat right wing
line. If you're trying to get rid of cars, why would you raise the price? That's, huh?
Okay. Apparently, cash for clunkers, taxable income rumor, that's a rumor that's going around the internets right now.
Really?
Yeah, and I was just sent a copy
mm-hmm.
of it.
Rebecca in Chicago.
Yeah. Hey, Stephanie, how are you?
Good. Go ahead.
I work at a car dealership, and I process the cash for clunker claims.
Okay. So what the hell do you know?
The money is reported as a trade-in. So you're getting you're acting like you're trading in that car, so you're getting actually a tax discount.
Oh, so she was not only wrong, she was doubly wrong.
Diametrically opposite wrong.
Yes, I don't know of any dealers that actually have gotten paid on the claims yet, so... The customer does not get the money. It goes to the dealer, but they have to scan a bunch of documents and
right. So not only do you get the rebate, then you get a tax break.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So because they act like it's a trade-in, they don't act like it's a rebate. They act like you traded the car in.
Rebecca, you know what your facts need? Your facts need a little slide whistle.
I think they do.
Thank you. All right. Thank you, Rebecca.
She seemed to be delighted by the slide whistle with facts.
Yes.
Some people like it. Let's go to Mark in Joplin, Missouri. Hello, Mark.
Hello, Steph.
Yes.
Been a mechanic for 20 years and just want to let Alicia know, if she's still listening, hopefully, that if she hears a whistle like that in her car, the up and down kind of whistle, blow up, and she needs to jam on the brakes, shut it off, and just get away from it as fast as she can.
She almost thought that the sound might be coming from her end.
She almost did.
Okay.
Bless her heart.
Asia, am I saying that right? In Boston, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hey, I just want to say I love your slide whistle.
Thank you.
And all your fart sound effects and everything. As a matter of fact, I want to complain. I need more fart sound effects because the healthcare news is bringing me down. I need to laugh more.
There you go.
That's the best one.
That's my favorite. We've had that sound effect, Asia. Here's a little fun fact about the Stephanie Miller Show. We've had that particular fart sound effect since what time?
Since the Roosevelt administration.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Teddy Roosevelt.
Since 97.
It's our favorite, and we refer to it as a WAP.
A WAP.
Yeah.
All right.
So Chris knows what I mean.
So when she says that, she's not making a slur against Italian people. We should point that out.
No, just a
WAP.
Yeah. All right.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Why go with a regular fart sound when you can have a real gastrointestinal distress sound?
Oh.
Ooh.
It's not funny when it's happening to you.
No.
Apologize. Gene in Detroit, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Yes. Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Yes. You know, when I first listened to you guys' show, it did take a while for me to get used to it also.
Yes.
But
an acquired taste.
Yeah, but I know one thing. Miss Miller, if you're not doing anything later on tonight, would you like to have a cup of coffee with me?
Oh, absolutely, Gene. Check into flights to Detroit for
me.
Half a slide whistle. Mama's going on the road. 57. Do you have anything to declare? Yeah. Okay. 57 minutes after the hour. Back with the president live, hopefully, on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's The Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Comedian Hal Sparks live in all of hour number three. It's Hump Day with Hal.
Yes, that's what we're christening it.
Mm-hmm. StephanieMiller.com.
Somebody's going to get humped.
Mm. The website, you can email us all there. Executive producer Crystal Boyd, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. This hour of the Stephanie Miller Show brought to you by Patriot Majority. Patriot Majority believes it is our patriotic duty as Americans to pass health care reform now with a strong public plan option. Let's do it for the Tedster. That's our version of do it for the Gipper.
Bill Press was saying they should name whatever bill comes out the Ted Kennedy Memorial Bill.
Let's hope if it's one worthy of him.
Yeah, exactly.
President Obama just spoke live moments ago.
Since Teddy's diagnosis last year, we've seen the courage with which he battled his illness. And while these months have no doubt been difficult for him, they've also let him hear from people in every corner of our nation and from around the world just how much he meant to all of us. His fight has given us the opportunity we were denied when his brothers John and Robert were taken from us. The blessing of time to say thank you and goodbye. The outpouring of love, gratitude, and fond memories to which we've all borne witness is a testament to the way this singular figure in American history touched so many lives. His ideas and ideals are stamped on scores of laws and reflected in millions of lives. And seniors who know new dignity, in families that know new opportunity, in children who know education's promise, and in all who can pursue their dream in an America that is more equal and more just, including myself. The Kennedy name is synonymous with the Democratic Party, and at times Ted was the target of partisan campaign attacks. But in the United States Senate, I can think of no one who engendered greater respect or affection from members of both sides of the aisle. His seriousness of purpose was perpetually matched by humility, warmth, and good cheer. He could passionately battle others and do so peerlessly on the Senate floor for the causes that he held dear, and yet still maintain warm friendships across party lines. And that's one reason he became not only one of the greatest senators of our time, but one of the most accomplished Americans ever to serve our democracy. His extraordinary life on this earth has come to an end. An extraordinary good that he did lives on. For his family, he was a guardian. For America, he was a defender of a dream. I spoke earlier this morning to Senator Kennedy's beloved wife, Vicky, who was, to the end, such a wonderful source of encouragement and strength. Our thoughts and prayers are with her, his children, Kara, Edward, and Patrick, his stepchildren, Curran and Caroline, the entire Kennedy family, decades worth of his staff, the people of Massachusetts, and all Americans who, like us, love Ted Kennedy.
All right, wow. A posthumous for Senator Ted Kennedy this morning. Here is a fun fact I did not know. In 1955, his performance on the football field for Harvard earned him the notice of the Green Bay Packers, who suggested he could have had a professional sports career.
Wow.
Kennedy declined the approach, saying he planned to go into another contact sport, politics. All right. This will be the place that you tune for decency on the day that Senator Kennedy dies, at right-wing radio, if you want your cheap Chappaquiddick jokes.
Yeah. Whatever.
That kind of stuff. Okay. Oh, by the way, because you know you're going to be hearing this because they have no what's the word I'm looking for, Chris, soul or decency. We were talking about though, whether he ever addressed it, and it turns out he did. That was another I wouldn't call it a fun fact, but at the height of the Chappaquiddick scandal, Kennedy did go on national television in an extraordinary 13-minute address, in which he denied driving drunk and rejected rumors of immoral conduct with Ms. Kopechne. He said he was haunted by irrational thoughts immediately after the accident. He said his failure to report the accident right away was indefensible. So, you know, I mean, it is hard to defend Chappaquiddick, but it just, you know, I'm just preparing you for tomorrow's What the Fox. That will be a... In fact, they weren't even covering it this morning, Jim. They were covering some missing woman somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, and they're also covering town halls, apparently, this morning.
Mm.
MSNBC and CNN are wall-to-wall Ted Kennedy coverage, yeah. And Fox is covering town halls.
Well, I mean, whatever your politics. I mean, Nancy Reagan made a statement today about how what an ally he was and what a good friend and how he and her husband always found common ground. But anyway, all right. I would ask for decency on behalf of Nancy Reagan and her plea, but no.
That
won't happen. Confused says
they'll probably throw her under the bus, too.
That's not going to happen. All right, let's check some other news we don't want to lose, shall we, kids? Here we go.
Yippee, yippee. It's time for stand-up news. And now, here's anchor person, Stephanie Miller.
Thank you. When news breaks here, stays broken. Our top story, 19 months after ending his disastrous run for the presidency, Rudy Giuliani clearing a path for a possible race for governor in 2010 in New York. He has told associates he will decide on a candidacy within 30 to 60 days as he weighs whether he can be elected statewide and what impact another campaign would have on his shady business interests. Oh, business interests. I'm sorry, did I say shady? That just popped into my head. I'm sorry, Rudy.
State Republican Party Chairman Mondello, someday, and the day may never come, I may ask you for a favor. But today I'm politely asking you to step aside, by which I mean if you don't, I will cut off your and your... Stuff them in your mouth and send them to the bottom of the East River. Come to think of it, I think I'll do it anyway, just for fun. Bernie, go to town.
Sure thing, Don Giuliani.
There you go. Now to take care of that blind Gavone Patterson. But we gotta make it look like an accident. What am I saying? It's a sin. She's blind. Hey, Bernie, help Mr. Patterson across the street like the good little boy scout you are.
Yes, Don Giuliani.
Now to my probable rival in the general election, Andrew Cuomo. The Cuomo family has been a thorn in my side for decades. Have Bardini set up a meeting with someone Cuomo absolutely trusts. And at that meeting, he will be assassinated.
Yes, Don Giuliani. Just what do you think you're doing?
Judas, your magnificence. Have I displeased you in some way? I know, I should have consulted you before.
Nonsense! You're finally acting like a real man, and it's making me hot. Come to mama. I have needs.
But your voluptuousness. I haven't had time to take my Cialis.
Get inside me. I need you now.
Shouldn't I at least take off?
No! You too, Bernie. But your majesty, I... Yes, yes, yes. That's the spot. Oh, sweet Mr. Blythe, at last I found you.
These are things that occur to me at 4 in the morning.
Yeah.
That is the most inappropriate Judy Giuliani bit ever. We understand she's somewhat difficult and demanding.
I understand she's prickly.
Finally. Oh, boy.
That leaves you an image in your mind, doesn't it?
Try to get that out of your head. A British cash machine operator has introduced Cockney rhyming slang to a number of its ATMs.
Hmm.
People wanting cash out of bank machine ATMs in East London can choose to have their instruction given to them in rhyming slang, according to reports of BBC Online. Customers will be asked to enter their Huckleberry Finn rather than their PIN. They'll have to select how much sausage and mash or cash they want. We have a...
That'd be bangers and mash.
Exactly.
Oi! Hello, hello, Suddington. Here's a bit of the old Arthur Ashe. Bangers and mash? Well, you're in the right place, mate. The Sherman, the Tommy, the J. Arthur. You're bleeding arts, aren't ya? Can't even write a Gregory, a Jeff, a Gooses. Well, you've made a right Elliot of it, haven't ya? Can't support the old plates or the saucepans, eh? Giving you a case of the West Hams, am I right? Well, as much as I'd love to give you a few teapots, truth is, I'm completely Alan. As an Alan Border. Out of order, mate, right? Sorry, on your bike.
Mabel, are you sure we're in England? I thought they talked English here. Why don't you use your credit card, Hank?
I do believe I will. Now, if I can only find a bar, all I see are these pubes or pubs or whatever. And what the heck is a tube?
That's all for stand-up news. I'm here all week. Tell your friends if you'd like more Jim Ward Falderall.
Jim Ward's Apocryphal but True. Tile at StephanieMiller.com. Buy the album. Thank you.
Thank you. Let's go to Ted in Palm Beach, Florida. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Ted.
Hey, Stephanie. First time, long time.
Thank you.
You know, I just wanted to say that it's really interesting when I tune over to right-wing radio, how they're always doom and gloom. They're thinking the end of the world's coming. Maybe there's something to be said about the fact that progressive and liberal talk show hosts are able to do something so funny like you.
On a day
like today, even, we can even be positive about our message. Maybe there's something to be said about that.
Well, mm-hmm. Why? Thank you very much. Facts with Slide Whistle. It's our new liner.
Mm-hmm. Of course, Glenn Beck would say, get off my phone!
Exactly. Dennis, we don't make anyone get off our phone. They hang up on us.
Okay, that's true.
Dennis in Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hi, that blithering idiot that called about the CARS program needs to get her facts straight. If she goes to CARS.gov and goes to the FAQ, that's the frequently asked questions, there's
yep.
a response. Is the credit subject being taxed as income to consumers that participate in the program? The answer, no. The CARS provides that the credit is not income for the consumer.
Uh-huh. Interesting, Dennis, that she would get incorrect information from Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity.
It's amazing that they can't even look at the law.
Yeah,
I suspect she can't work the intertubes. And probably doesn't know how to spell FAQ.
Well, it's a fact. You mean facts? Is that what they meant? They misspelled it. Peter in Saratoga, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, Pete.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hello.
I hope I don't get yelled at for this, but here's my question on health care. Where are the moms?
Oh, I'm sorry.
That was good.
I went all Glenn Beck on your ass.
That was good. Where are the moms in this debate? I'm watching these videos on, for example, Sick for Profit, where they're denying health care to children that have feeding tubes or it's not necessary and all this stuff. And the moms aren't speaking. We need our moms.
We need our mommy. That's right. And you need to get off my phone.
Get off my phone! Get off my phone! Get off my phone, you little finhead! I don't care. You people don't care. I'm going to lose my mind today.
You better pick your head up and put it back on your shoulders because it's rolling all over the ground right now.
Oh, dear God. Kim in Columbus, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, Kim.
Hey, everybody. How you doing?
Good.
I was calling to tell you how much I love your show, but before I say that, I want to tell you how much I love Rebecca. Like, I don't think anyone gives her enough props, but she is awesome. She always remembers
she's
me.
Great.
And she's awesome. So
Associate producer Rebecca Baker on Phones and Drones.
Thank you very, very much.
Right.
I was also telling Rebecca that I have won arguments based off the things that I've heard on this show, and I have directed everyone, once I got them kicking her behind, to listen to you in the morning. So you
Thank
guys
you.
Rock. And my favorite sound effect is not the slide whistle, but the karate chipmunk thing. That is like the best sound effect you guys have ever had.
Funny you mention it. We have a Steven Seagal story coming up in Tinsel Talk.
You guys rock. You rock. Love you.
All right. Thank
we
you.
We do?
It's in the celebrity section thing of the show.
Yeah. Nothing you had to prepare for.
All right. Joe in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hello, Joe.
Hi, Stephanie. Listen, I love your fart jokes, too.
Thank you.
I am going to Jan Schakowsky's town hall meeting on Monday.
Woohoo!
And I would just like to organize maybe the 12 Stephanie Miller listeners from Chicago.
I beg your pardon.
Well, you know, it's a joke. If people start yelling their racist crap, I'm going to yell, Sheboygan!
Slavin!
I would like the response to be, Gila Fleur!
Oh, no, you know in Illinois what you need to yell? You need to yell, Skoin! You know, the, what's his name? The Republican guy that...
Gary Skoin.
Yes. Yeah, his wife caught him in the playroom with
a couple of hookers
and hit him with a toy guitar. Skoin! That's what you yell. If right wingers start yelling lies and nonsense, just yell, Skoin! Congresswoman Schakowsky, I was Skoin!
Or Van Flyn!
Perhaps, you know, Jan Schakowsky, whom we know.
Who's going to be on this very program tomorrow.
And who was on Bill Maher
I think we
week.
Need to arm her with some cartoon nunchucks to bring to the town hall, just in case there is any right-wing rabble-rousing. Scream! Scream!
God, we're a silly show.
Oh.
You know, I'm starting to get Alicia's point, right, when Alicia, who does not enjoy the show. I don't enjoy the show now. 20 minutes... 20 minutes after the hour. Oh, boy. All right. Right back with the latest on where we are in health care as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
You'll cheer, you'll cry, you might even get a cheap laugh or two.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Get up, stand up. Stand up for your right. Get up, stand up. Don't give up the fight.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 25 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere. Representative Jim Duran, or excuse me, Moran.
Yes.
Of the Moran brothers. I'm thinking of Moran Moran. Anyway, Democrat of the great state of Virginia coming up on the Celebrity Hotline in just a few minutes to talk about the passing of Ted Kennedy and much more.
Yeah, and he also hosted that town hall meeting with Howard Dean,
yes,
where Randall Terry got up and started screaming. So.
Yes, and was had to be removed.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Jim, who said if the country ends up without health care reform, I think divine misfortune will be to blame. Ted Kennedy was a powerhouse in face-to-face negotiations who was sensitive to the need for bipartisanship. The debate is now stalled and getting vicious, and Kennedy wouldn't have allowed it. Who said that?
Randall Terry.
No, that was a very, very bad guess. Paul Leick of the Center for the Study of Congress.
Whatever.
Okay, let's go to Shayla in Pittsburgh on Senator Kennedy. Hello, Shayla. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hi, Steph. Hi, Mooks.
Hello.
Sad day today.
Yeah.
But I read a quote on Facebook by, and I know this is going to get some snickers, an actor named Jim Beaver, honestly.
All right.
But he's also an author. He didn't say Chappaquiddick, but what he said was, if I made a terrible error in judgment one time and spent the remaining 40 years of my life doing my best as well as I could see it to make up for that and to help my fellow man, especially my weaker fellow man, I hope I would have earned a fraction of the respect I feel tonight for Senator Edward M. Kennedy.
Yep, absolutely. Well, that's a good point. By the way, I didn't realize that...
Joe Biden is actually speaking on Ted Kennedy right now.
I mean this sincerely, to be the Secretary of the Department of Energy. You've assembled a first-rate staff, and you've taken on a role that is going to be, is going to in large part determine the success of these next 3.5 years. Whether or not we make a genuine dent, genuine progress in moving toward an energy policy.
He may have already given the statement.
Yeah. Despite being away from Congress most of the year, Kennedy managed to help draft the preliminary bill to overhaul the health care system. So, I didn't realize that he, you know, was involved. And between chemotherapy, he stayed in contact the best he could with colleagues and the president, who at Kennedy's urging had made health care reform his top domestic priority. One speculation, though, which I hope, says Kennedy's death with the extensive news coverage and outpouring of affection for him could actually jumpstart the effort for legislation that would be seen as a tribute to his lifetime of work. Yeah, that would be good. 28 minutes after the hour, right back with the latest on healthcare as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
We cannot have a fair prosperity in isolation from a fair society. So I will continue to stand for a national health insurance.
That was back in 1980.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. We are mourning the passing, of course, of Senator Ted Kennedy this morning, 33 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Oh, my, must I suppose. Right-wing John in Amherst, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, John.
Hi, guys. I will not be vile like most lefties are when someone from the right wing passes, like Jerry Falwell, and you can flag the tapes on that.
What did I say about that?
No, I have not listened to the show. Please forgive me. I feign ignorance. I do not know. But listen, what's happened is that I do believe this is going to happen again. I remember when Paul Wellstone died in the plane crash. They were out there at his funeral service talking policy.
Yeah, that's a bunch of bubble.
It is not vile.
That is what the cause that he dedicated his life to.
Well, that is fine. However, I do not want the cost of this thrown on the backs of my grandson, who I do have, because some guy passed away. We all died.
So that's the only reason for passing health care reform?
Oh, I see. So you'd hate to get actual health care reform just based on sympathy for Ted Kennedy, who fought his whole life for health care. I see. Yeah.
Okay. If you guys want to overplay your hand like that, that's fine. And Nancy Pelosi has already really set the tone. Let's pass this in memory and
yes.
Let's think about it.
Yes, it's been the work of his lifetime.
Yes, work, right.
All right, you know what, John, I made a mistake by taking your call.
Congress is just a room full of black guys. Yeah, it's a problem right there.
Yeah, it's been his life's work since he entered the Senate in 1962. Yeah.
That's by the way, what Jim is doing, right wing John said that one time. Well, I don't even remember.
He was talking about Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac.
Yeah, so let's be honest. That was something that.
A room full of black guys.
Came up with that.
That's my point.
Okay, so that's that guy.
Why there was a whole economic collapse. It was the black guys.
I see. So it would be disgusting to mention that Ted Kennedy was quite passionate about health care reform.
That doesn't matter. I don't want my grandkids paying for it.
Yeah. So the right wing is afeared that we might get actual health care reform? I see. Uh-huh. Did you read the Newsweek, by the way, that Ted Kennedy, on the July 27th edition, that he wrote the whole piece on health care? He wrote, we will end the disgrace of America as the only major industrialized nation in the world that doesn't guarantee health care for all of its people. By the way, I was wondering, because, you know, either side of the aisle you're on, I mean, you have to admit that this is a guy from a really wealthy family that spent his whole life fighting for poor people and disadvantaged people and didn't have to. Could have been sailing the whole time, you know. Kennedy got much of his passion to expand health insurance to all Americans in 1973 when his then 12-year-old son, Teddy, battled cancer. He survived but lost a leg to the illness. Patrick recalled him. My dad would spend the night in the hospital with my brother. He met other families and heard their financial struggles. He couldn't imagine not being able to pay the bills for my brother. He believed all should have affordable and quality health care. Over the years, there are countless stories of my dad paying for health insurance for people who didn't have the money. My dad didn't tell me. Other people told me and thanked me. So, you know, that's also who Ted Kennedy was. By the way, and he also talked a lot about his illness and that he wants everyone to have access to the kind of health care that he had.
Exactly.
Patrick Kennedy said today that he survived a year despite doctors. Apparently he outlived all expectations. He decided, survived a year with brain cancer, which is pretty unusual. All right. By the way, speaking of us being the only country that doesn't offer, would you like some more European fun facts? We have put up, Chris, where is it in the...
In the Twitter section on the front page of StephanieMiller.com. You just scroll down a little bit, you'll see a little pink box, and you'll see the link to it.
Yes, five myths about European health care that you've heard from the right. You've heard them repeated over and over again. That's actual ammunition to battle your right-wing friends with on what health care is like overseas. Europeans, this is from The Independent in the UK. Europeans baffled as to why there's so much resistance to healthcare reform here.
Yes.
The U.S. tolerates more inequality, deprivation, and suffering than is acceptable here.
Yes, we're number one!
Okay. Except in many categories, according to many independent surveys, where we are actually last. But other than that...
That's my point!
Yeah.
Yes!
But you know what? If you turn it upside down, we're number one. It just depends on perspective.
Maybe to the people in Australia, you know, since they're down on the bottom of the globe.
From their point of view.
Yes, we're number one.
When we Europeans, the Independent writes, the British included, contemplate the battles President Obama must fight to reform the U.S. health system, our first response tends to be disbelief. How can it be that so obvious a social good as universal health insurance, so humane a solution to common vulnerability, is not sewn deep into the fabric of the United States? How can one of the biggest, richest, and most advanced countries in the world tolerate a situation where at one time, one in six of the population has to pay for their treatment item by item or resort to hospital casualty wards? The second response, as automatic as the first, is to blame heartless and ignorant Republicans. To Europeans, a universal health system is so basic to civilized society that only the loony right could possibly oppose it. The people who cling to their guns picket abortion clinics when they're not trying to shoot the abortionists and block funding for birth control in the third world. It is because very many Americans, but then they talk about it's not just Republicans, clearly, during this debate. It's because very many Americans simply do not agree it's a good idea, and they include not only mainstream Republicans, but Democrats, too. If Democrats were solidly behind reform, victory would already be his. Even many in the party's mainstream must be wooed, cajoled, and even, yes, frightened if they're ever going to agree to change the status quo. Universal health care is an article of faith in the U.S., only at what mainstream America would regard as the bleeding heart liberal end of the spectrum. Obama's victory can indeed be seen as a reaction to 8 years of conservative Republicanism under George Bush and by a turn U.S. voters on the left. But that left is still quite a bit further right than in most of Europe.
Yes.
Which is what's funny about him being called a socialist. If only. If and when Obama gets some form of health reform through, though, it will reflect America's fears quite as much as its promise. That's what I'm afraid of, that it's going to be something so watered down and, you know, ineffectual that
it'll be just a big, expensive mess.
Yeah. Like, for instance, is Kent Conrad still talking about these co-ops? Because, frankly, yeah. First of all, Republicans have said they're not going to vote for that either.
Right.
So why use a watered-down, crappy idea to try to, you know, give the Republicans a compromise when they're not going to vote for that either? This was a good piece on the co-ops. Conrad's healthcare co-op is a Seinfeld episode. It's about nothing. Sometimes you can be for something simply by knowing who's against it. Co-ops, health insurance companies seemingly object to the co-op. So do Rush Limbaugh, Glenn Beck, and Sean Hannity. All together now, can you save Washington takeover of health care? Moreover, Conrad's proposal gives political cover, something seen as other than big government solution to his moderate-leaning Senate colleagues. It's political mush. It's oatmeal. That's what it is. It's something that seems, let's try to make it not look like the government has anything to do with it, and at the same time make it completely ineffectual. Conrad's public co-op fails for one simple reason. It can't work. Consider how a public co-op would function in his own North Dakota, which, according to a May 2009 study, has but one available health insurer. It operates as Blue Cross Blue Shield of North Dakota. It collects nearly 90% of the state's private insurance health care premiums. Every hospital and doctor in North Dakota is allied with the Blue Cross Blue Shield already, usually under exclusive terms. A new, unproven public co-op could never build a viable network of doctors, hospitals, pharmacies, and nursing homes to treat North Dakota residents. But no worry, since it's a nonprofit, the incoming president of Blue Cross Blue Shield of North Dakota, a nearly pure monopoly, would seek to qualify as the state's approved public co-op. Now, there's free enterprise for you. So this is, again, just something that's going to benefit the private health insurance and companies again.
Mm-hmm.
The firm concluded that public co-ops in any form would be too small to press doctors and hospitals for lower costs. In its current form, in practical policy terms, Conrad's public co-op is a Seinfeld episode. It's all about nothing. Under the spotlight, it melts. You may as well call it the ice cream auction. This on MSNBC.com. We will talk to Jim Moran about that in a couple of minutes, but I certainly hope that's dead. All right. A CNN reporter and Senator Tom Coburn on health care and the public option.
If the president drops the public option, could you support him?
Well, it depends on what's in it. The problem with the president is he doesn't know what's in the Democrats' bill.
Right.
He doesn't intentionally deceive people, but the fact is he's making claims that aren't backed up by what the legislation says.
Okay, let me answer that for him.
Says no.
No, he's not going to vote for anything. It depends on what's in it. He knows very well what the public option is, and he's not going to vote for any version of it, even co-ops. 42 minutes after the hour, back with Congressman Jim Moran, Democrat of the great state of Virginia, next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, my God! That's like my favorite show ever!
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller. Chaka Khan. Stephanie Miller. Chaka Khan. Stephanie Miller. Chaka Khan. Stephanie Miller. Chaka Khan. Let me rock it, every rock. Stephanie Miller. Every rock it is all I wanna do. Every rock it, rock it.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 47 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. We had a caller earlier that talked about a rockin' town hall featuring Representative Jim Moran, one of our personal favorites, and Chairman Howard Dean. Well, former chairman, governor, yes. Dr. Howard Dean. If apparently Randall Terry was ejected from this particular meeting. If only there was someone that knew some. Why, who is it, Jim?
From the great state of Virginia. State? Yes.
Commonwealth.
Commonwealth of Virginia. I knew it was one of those.
Damn.
It's Representative Jim Moran. Although he grew up in Natick.
That's right. Good morning, good morning, Congressman.
Good morning. You're my personal favorite, Stephanie. Nice to be on with you.
Thank you, sir. Well, you are, of course, from Ted Kennedy country. It is a sad day, isn't it?
Yeah. You know, I love Ted. Just a real guy, you know, never pretentious. He took his job seriously, but he never took himself seriously, and he filled his life with the things he cared about. He was born to an advantaged lifestyle, but he spent his life thinking and caring and doing things for those who were disadvantaged. He really was a hero of the Democratic Party, the progressive movement, and I think the best thing we could do in his memory is to get this health care bill passed, name it after him, and generations in the to come will recognize that he's one of the people who really made it happen.
Congressman, I'm sure you read the Newsweek that you know, in which Ted Kennedy wrote the piece, and I remember the headline on the Newsweek was "We're almost there."
Yep.
Boy, I hope so. What's your take?
I hope so. You know, ironically, with his passing, I do think there's more intense determination to make this happen for him. This is really the message that he should be able to send to a world that he will never see, but that will be different because of him. His leadership, it's going to be tough. But you know, it was tough in the 30s when we got Social Security passed, similar charges of socialism and all. In the 60s, when Medicare was passed, obviously the civil rights struggles, this should be difficult. This should be contentious. There are vested interests that make billions of dollars off the current system.
Right, Congressman. You know, I've been reading the histories of Social Security and Medicare, you know, people do make the point that in some ways they had to accept half the loaf and then strengthen it later. Is that what's going to happen with health care now? I mean, how strong a health care reform are we actually going to get, do you think?
Well, I've been predicting that it's going to be incremental, but I sure hope it isn't, because there are just so many people who need a full-fledged public option that will provide them with quality care, and I don't think we can afford anything less than that. With Ted's passing, you have to be conscious of the fact he wasn't an incremental sort of guy in any way.
Right.
You know, you go full bore, you do the right thing, and you put all your energy into you do whatever it takes to get it done. If it is too incremental, I don't think we're going to have another opportunity. You look at the politics of it. You know, next year it's a congressional election year. Then you get into the presidential contest and so on. And each year we're going to have less and less in the way of monetary resources. The deficit situation is going to be haunting. I think we've got to do it now and do it right.
Mm-hmm. A caller called in earlier about the town hall that you were at, and Howard Dean. And I said, well, first of all, that's a couple of kick-ass and take-name Democrats.
That's right.
That you don't mess with at town halls. And yet I understand that Randall Terry, the anti-abortion nut, was there and had to be removed.
Yeah, you know, I wouldn't have done that, but he announced to the newspapers the day before that he was going to Reston specifically to disrupt the meeting, mm-hmm. you know, not to accomplish anything but disruption, and that's what he was doing.
Yeah.
I would have given him a few minutes to, you know, share his views with us, such as they are, if he was willing to be quiet afterwards. That wasn't acceptable. All he wanted to do was to scream and holler, and so we had to remove him. Earlier this week in Charleston, he stabbed these baby dolls, stuffed dolls, and had ketchup or something come out, and then did the same thing to some the effigy of an older woman, and it just said awful things about this health plan. And of course, he doesn't understand it, doesn't want to. He's opposed to the Medicare, to the CHIP program that provides care for children. He even said he's opposed to Social Security. He's just not a constructive individual in any way.
And, yeah.
And, you know, those folks don't belong in a constructive town hall meeting where you're trying to communicate and to inform people.
Well, Congressman, you know, I guess the depressing news today, there was a poll that somebody did, or I think even the White House may have commissioned it, on these health care myths, you know, these blatant lies that our right-wing friends are putting out. And unfortunately, the majorities of Americans believe them. And that's the fight we're fighting, isn't it? I just had somebody call today that said, oh, I'm a, you know, Rush Limbaugh, Sean Hannity fan, and, you know, apparently people are being taxed on the cash for clunkers, and that's completely untrue.
It's
don't even get the money. The money goes to the dealer, but it's like she heard that on Rush Limbaugh or Sean Hannity.
You know, it may not have been you. I think it may have been Stephen Colbert that suggested that the truth does have a liberal bias.
Yeah. That was me.
The reality.
He stole it from me.
Yeah, okay. the right wing comes to near control of the airwaves, except for you and your colleagues, Stephanie. But it's imbalanced, and people much prefer to hear people who are going to appeal to their most basic instincts of greed, of selfishness, of prejudice, of fear. And that's what they've preyed on. And you could see that last night. People are afraid of government programs, afraid of a government takeover, of other people making decisions for them. When the reality, of course, is that they trust Medicare. They're dependent on Medicare. Howard Dean asked if there were anyone on Medicare who would give up their Medicare, and no one was willing to. Anybody that has a child that has been or a husband that has been injured in the war, obviously they want them to go through the Veterans Administration for their health care. The women and men that are served there are served very well, but that's socialized medicine. They don't see the connection. They don't see that time and again the government has had to step in to balance the conditions. Right now, it's the insurance companies that are controlling people's lives.
Yeah.
And their sole objective is to maximize profit, not to heal people.
Yeah. Congressman, happen to see this clip? It was, you know, over TV last night, but of Senator Tom Coburn's town hall. I mean, if that doesn't sum up the debate, did you see this poor woman weeping uncontrollably, whose husband has a head injury, and, you know, just one of a zillion, you know, healthcare stories like I'm sure you've heard. I mean, Tom Coburn uses as an excuse to say, well, you know, government's not the answer. We'd like to get neighbors helping, like, you know, like your neighbors can help you get the $45,000 to pay for whatever it is you need for
do a bake sale.
Yeah. I mean, it just was like, wow.
Yeah, he thinks that and faith-based efforts and so on. They're fine on their own, but you can't rely on individuals to be able to address the real needs of the American people. That's the problem with the healthcare cooperative idea. Mm-hmm. It's a fine concept, but most states can already do it. They don't do it because you need 500,000 people to be competitive with private insurance, and you don't have the initial capital, and you're not going to get it because people with money aren't going to invest it in something that doesn't generate a profit for them. So, you know, it's not a substitute for the public option, and Coburn knows that, but he's got his own thing, and it's there's the contrast. There couldn't be two people more different than Tom Coburn, who is so constrained by his ideology, and Ted Kennedy, who was not constrained at all. All he cared about was people, filling his life with people and making their lives better. And frankly, it makes you proud to be a Democrat, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Yes. Congressman, we need more fighters in there like you and Ted Kennedy, and we love you, and that's why Sean Hannity calls you dirty names. thanks for taking time for us, as always, Congressman.
It's my pleasure.
All right, there he goes. Thanks. Representative Jim Moran of the great state.
Commonwealth
of Virginia. 57 minutes after the hour. Hal Sparks next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
I'm walking on sunshine.
the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere. Ooh, tomorrow, big show. Jonathan Alter from Newsweek and also Representative Jan Schakowsky of the great state of Illinois. Cool. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris Lavoie, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. This hour is brought to you by Patriot Majority. Patriot Majority believes it is our patriotic duty as Americans to pass health care reform now with a strong public plan option. This hour also dedicated to Senator Ted Kennedy, who passed away last night.
And this is the cause of my life, new hope, that we will break the old gridlock and guarantee that every American, north, south, east, west, young, old, will have decent quality health care as a fundamental right and not a privilege.
All right, and the president yesterday on reappointing Ben Bernanke at the Fed.
The man next to me, Ben Bernanke, has led the Fed through one of the worst financial crises that this nation and the world has ever faced.
All right, and more fear-mongering from the right, from Bill O'Reilly. Oh, gosh, Jim, we better be careful of a single-payer system. Which isn't even on the table.
No.
Right?
Many liberal Americans want a government-run health care system. They call it a single-payer deal.
Yes.
Whereby the government would tell us what the health insurance situation would be, and in some cases force us to acquire premiums. But big question is emerging, is that constitutional?
No. What? Only your fevered little tiny brain.
By the way, at StephanieMiller.com, in the, where is it, Chris, the Twitter section, a very important article on healthcare, five myths about healthcare over in Europe, essentially, right, overseas in other countries, which, by and large, is much, much better than ours. Read the actual facts instead of the fear-mongering that you get from the right wing on that. Jim, I have a very apropos guest, the poet, this morning. Who said Ronald Reagan could always find common ground with Ted Kennedy? They had great respect for each other. I consider Ted Kennedy an ally and a dear friend. I will miss him. Who said that?
Tom Coburn.
No, that's a really bad guess. That would be Nancy Reagan. Said that this morning. And I'm sure, as I mentioned earlier, in honor of their hero, Ronald Reagan, I'm sure Ted Kennedy, or what do you call it, Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity will dispense with the snarky Ted Kennedy thoughts today, won't they?
Computer says no.
No, probably not. All right. Speaking of Twitter, which we mentioned, the healthcare article is up there in the Twitter section of StephanieMiller.com. An article about whether Twitter favors conservatives. See, we're going to use the power of Twitter for good now. The White House announced, and Jim, here's another example of the White House stealing stuff from you. As you recall, President Obama stole my Michelle Obama right-to-bear-arms joke that I did on CNN. Just stole it, just like that. Just outright theft. The White House announced with fanfare over the weekend that its Twitter account had passed the 1 million mark. The White House wrote, a million followers, nice. What would you like to see more of from this feed? Photos, quotes, cowbell? Aw, come
cowbell.
On. Come on.
I got a favor. No, a prescription. It's more cowbell.
They're stealing Jim Ward's bit.
All over the place.
Michelle Malkin has called Twitter the new gathering place for conservative activism. Oh,
says no.
No, not now on, Chris. You're going to tweet your ass off on health care.
Right away, Ms. Miller.
Thank you. All right. You know, I feel vaguely uncomfortable and a little sweaty. I wonder why that could be. Why, is it the pizza man? Who is it, Jim?
It's actor, comedian, Renaissance man, astronaut, God knows who, what else. It's Hal Sparks, of course.
Oh, hi, Hal.
Hello.
Why, it's hump days with Hal.
Yes, it is. I think a great new tradition.
Happy Wednesday, Hal. Right.
Thank you. I appreciate you wearing the see-through shirt today. That was so
good. Why, this old rag?
Yes.
I didn't even know I had it on.
Yes, neither did I, until I was like, oh, there is a bit of fabric.
And you accidentally spilled water all over it.
Absolutely. Yes. I accidentally, on
is
purpose,
jumped here?
Yes. Right. Where did this pitcher of iced tea come from?
Splash.
Now the white shirt is vaguely skin-colored and damp. Yay.
Good morning, Hal.
Hi.
It's kind of a sad day.
It is. It is. It's quite a sad day. It's, we were all watching his health and going, this is so deeply tied with this health care fight.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That it almost, it's one of those fate moments in life where somebody's, you know, the arc of your life reaches a point where your mission and your own lifespan coincide, and it's kind of amazing to watch in that you know, some, like Lawrence O'Donnell was saying, you know, this doesn't bode well for healthcare reform. And I'm from the opposite school. I believe that it actually will help. That to some degree.
That's why people, I like you, because you're a shiny, happy person.
It's
like
true.
Me.
Yes.
Well, they're saying this could, you know, this could reinvigorate people.
Absolutely. Yeah. And also put a little, a gravity into it. You know, in this ridiculous fight back and forth where these mm-hmm. cartoon idiots were showing up at town halls, wagging everything and saying nothing. Going back to what it's really about, here's a man who had government health care in his life, died at home with his family as per his own wishes, was not put to death by some sort of death panel nonsense.
Really? And it wasn't, there wasn't a death panel
and had
panel
the best
involved.
Care that he could possibly have. Mm-hmm. So every lie about the nationalized health care really does play out very strongly in Ted Kennedy's life.
It was funny you should
have what he had.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's funny you should mention cartoon idiots at town halls, because this is John McCain's town hall. Tell me where is the meaningful conversation about health care reform in this?
No compromises, no compromises, no compromises, no compromises. Senator, nuke it now.
What the hell does that mean?
First of all, and I mean this as a compliment, that sounds like a voice that Jim would do.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a compromise.
She stole that from Jim, too.
Why are you exaggerating how screechy I am? Exactly. I don't sound like that.
I don't sound silly for comic effect at all. What a world.
Somebody throw water on that
woman. I guess her point
woman.
Is she wants no health care reform of any kind.
Nuke it.
Yes, no compromises, nuke it now. Thank you. Yes, this is, by the way, anybody who thinks that this is a portion of the populace who actually is against health care is missing the point. These are the same people who voted for Sarah Palin. These are the same people who had no interest in any of these changes over the last 20 years. They're the same people. It's not like, oh my God, people are coming out of the woodwork and they're showing up at town halls and America is showing how it doesn't want health care. It's not. It's these same people who didn't vote for Barack Obama, largely because he's black, but also because of any progressive reforms, and they're just showing up. This is their way of voting twice.
Health care has been palling around with terrorists.
Exactly.
By the way, that woman went on to say, what a cruel world! What a wow! What a world! I'm melting! What a bad
get on a, You went away on her. Mm-hmm. Well, did you have the music? I can't. I have no headphones, going. Yeah, so it would have been nice.
Yes, it was.
Yes. Yeah, right, thank you.
And you're on top, too!
Right.
No compromise!
Right, no pet health care either. You do that pretty well, and it's actually
Thank you.
It's exciting.
Thank you.
Yeah, Margaret Hamilton is the hottest thing.
She is. Yeah. When she did those Maxwell House commercials.
Oh, baby.
Back in the day, people, the Maxwell House old lady. Do you realize she's the Wicked Witch of the West? Get out of here.
Step aside, Mrs. Olson.
Yummy.
Actually, healthcare is becoming like the Folgers commercial now. We've replaced real healthcare reform.
With Folgers crystals.
With these healthcare reform like crystals.
Broken glass.
With these co-op like crystals. Mm-hmm. Let's see the reaction. All right, let's check some other entertainment news, shall we? Kids, here we go.
There's no business like show business.
It's time for Tinsel Talk. Let's find out what's going on in Hollywood with Stephanie Miller.
Thank you very much. Steven Seagal is at the center of a legal battle between rival TV bosses over a new reality show.
Again.
Mm-hmm. Bosses at the production company The Idea Factory claim network chiefs at A&E stole their idea to make a show about the action man's life. They allege A&E executives went behind their backs after dismissing suggestions for a series of shows and signed a deal with Seagal. One of the ideas pitched to TV bosses was a show featuring Seagal, Chuck Norris, and Jean-Claude Van Damme living together. Hmm. That is awesome. That place is an idea factory.
Yeah, and it would never happen. You've got three of the biggest egos in the last 35 years.
Those are my Cocoa Puffs. Oh, it's awesome. The network bosses are currently shooting Steven Seagal Lawman. He's works as a deputy sheriff or something, whatever we have.
No, we have the promo for the actual show.
Good.
Tonight on A&E, the new reality show, Mojo in the Dojo, starring Steven Seagal, Chuck Norris, and Jean-Claude Van Damme.
This place is a pigsty. Whose turn is it to take out the garbage?
Not mine. I did it last week.
Fiche moi la paix. Je dis un nettoyé la chiotte.
Huh?
What?
Espèce de con, j'en ai marre. Va te faire mettre.
Speak English. You're in America.
I learned Japanese when I was a sensei in Japan. You can bloody well learn English.
An attack, salop!
Next week, the boys fight over who clonked up the John with a sumo-sized turd. I'll blame Seagal.
We'll see!
Only on A&E.
Awesome.
All right.
I'd watch that.
Yeah, totally. You know what? That's why I want to. I can't wait to go see the Expendables. Even though Jean-Claude was supposed to be in it, he's not going to be. But it's Stallone, Dolph Lundgren, Carl Weathers, I think, might
Jet
be
Lee?
In it.
Jet Li, I don't know.
Jet Li's going to be in it. Yeah.
Okay, good.
Very All right.
Exciting. I was just guessing.
Oh, Squeezy. Sexy yes? actress Alicia Silverstone loves to trim her hedges and mow her lawn in the nude. I
betcha.
How do you do? Does Daddy like
you? Video? Oh, yeah.
Oh, man.
The former Batgirl admits she loves to strip off while gardening. She says, it probably started when I was doing my garden the first time. I'd be out there and it would be scorching hot, so I'd take all my clothes off and garden.
Yeah, baby.
And then I'd jump in the pool and swim, and I always get in the pool naked, because why would you want to put on a bathing suit? That's what I say. We have that guy that banned the sexy teenage cheerleading in Texas.
Squeezy McFeels, mate.
Oh, yeah, that guy.
Oh, my. Oh, my, my, my. Well, how they do? Hey, now. Well, shave me and call me Topiary. So that delectable little morsel Alicia Silverstone likes to trim her hedges in the nude. Is there any other way? Does she favor the Brazilian, the landing strip, heart-shaped in honor of Valentine's Day for some lucky fella? Or maybe in the shape of delightful Disney characters, a different one every month? Well, I've got just the weed whacker for the task, and it's got several settings. All it takes is a twist of the wrist. What's that you say? She's done an ad for PETA au naturel? Why was I not informed of this? I would have volunteered to apply her body makeup, using my tongue as a trowel.
Wait a minute, boys. No need to cuff me. It just dawned on me the poor deluded girl doesn't eat meat. Clearly, I'm not wanted here.
On the other hand, how does she feel about sushi?
No, all right, you win again.
All right.
That's all for Tinsel Talk. I'm here all week. Tell your friends and claim it if you'd like more with Jim Ward, Balderall.
Jim Ward's apocryphal but true, for which there is a title ad at stephaniemiller.com. Take you right there. Go buy the album, why don't you? Thank you.
Oh, some very sad show business news, Hal Sparks, before we take a break here.
Okay.
The days may be numbered for the Burt Reynolds Museum.
Oh, no.
Demolition of the...
Just the toupee wing was spectacular.
I was just going to say, won't someone please think of the toupees?
The mustache.
Where will they go?
Ward. just to see the arc of mustaches. And then, of course, the how they honored his crow's feet that now go up, which I think is fascinating.
It's weird.
It's
like somebody turned the tragedy mask up into
the
comedy mask.
Just yes. Weird. They're defying gravity now. He has the only crow's feet in Hollywood. Well, not the only. But, yeah. They look like little wings.
Maybe he had his work done on the space station.
Right.
All right. 20 minutes after the hour, we'll be right back with a little more celebrity stack. Apparently, this is some breaking news from the Department of Sherlock. Mel Gibson's wife upset for some reason.
Huh. Might be having to crank out 75 children and be a broodmare for the Catholic Church, and then all of a sudden he dumps her for a hot POA.
Maybe. Yeah. That's one theory, Hal Sparks.
It is.
20 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ooh, even I found that to be in bad taste.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 24 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Joined by comedian Hal Sparks, live in studio.
Hello.
Susan, hello.
Quite live.
Susan in Spokane, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show on healthcare. Hi, Suze.
Howdy. I was just listening a couple of nights ago to a T.R. Reid interview on Fresh Air, and I was a little embarrassed and amused by the fact that in the industrialized countries that have socialized medicine, one of their argument enders for people who are bitching about their health care and have some complaints. They say, well, would you like to move to America? Would you like that? And then usually they say, no.
Right. That's the way they shut them up. Right.
Yes.
We're the way they shut them up.
Yeah, exactly. By the way, up on the stephaniemiller.com, the healthcare myths about healthcare overseas, you should just arm yourself with the facts is all I'm saying.
Well, and also with the Twitter wars that are going on or whatever, if you look out, there's a lot of British people are putting I love the NHS on their Twitter icon. For their support for their national healthcare system.
That's the system that killed Stephen Hawking,
yes,
right?
Sure, Stephen right. Hawking. Yeah. Oh.
A fine American.
I'm sorry, he's alive and alive because of the British healthcare system.
Right.
Okay, so that's
it's his machine that has an
simulator does not have an English accent.
Right.
But yet I am British, you moron.
Right.
All right. I think, as I mentioned, Mel Gibson's wife kind of upset for some reason. I know.
Yeah. Maybe because he treated her like the queen alien and for a long time, basically strapped in, plopping eggs out for a decade and a half. And then he's like, I'm the bastion of Catholic. I'm going to have my own church. I'm the pastor. Who's that hose bag? All right. Hey, can I play with those for a while? You're much younger and more delicious than my wife.
You're
fun
not
Jewish, are you? Yummity, yummity, yum. It's got to be a little rough for her to watch Braveheart now, where they're like this guy who's like, I will do anything. Because you killed my wife, the most honorable. Ooh, hey, who's she? Nice French chick. What's going on?
The Mel Gibson's determination for a quick divorce has infuriated his wife.
Oh,
Women are so prickly, aren't they? How you go and impregnate one Russian waitress, and right away,
hey, singer, And maybe it's the one part that bothers her.
Check this out. There's $1 billion at stake, and Robin is planning on taking it all, including Mel's chapel. The little church, I guess the land is worth a little bit of money.
Sure,
out there in Malibu.
Absolutely.
In Malibu?
I can't believe the Catholic Church owns land that's worth a lot of money.
I love this part of the Inquirer story. Robin made a sudden about face as she grew increasingly suspicious of Oksana's motives. It suddenly occurs to me she may be a gold-digging whore.
Yeah, wait a second. Huh. A Russian gold digging whore?
Curious. I wasn't thinking she was a home-wrecking whore, but now...
One of my favorite things about women from Russia is their great combination of naivete and greed. There's a lovely combination of the two.
I don't know how this all works, but can I have half your stuff?
Here's a new celebrity excuse for entering a rehab. Melanie Griffith has entered rehab. Her spokesperson said she's there to reinforce her commitment to stay healthy. This is part of a routine plan that was designed between her and her doctors years ago.
Sure. Oh. Yeah, yeah.
It's like a dental checkup.
Yeah, routinely. The next time you get addicted to substances, come back in. Yeah,
sure,
like
just for a tune-up.
Yeah, absolutely. Which is, necessary or whatever. Do we know what substance she's supposedly on? At this point?
From the pictures, Botox, but I don't
know.
We
do know
come
that she's body built for sin.
Yes, says she.
28 minutes after the hour, back with the latest...
Biblical sin, 1,200 years of it, but yeah.
All right. Back with a Beatles fun fact and more on healthcare as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
And let this be our confidence. At the end of our journey, and always before us, shines that ideal of liberty and justice for all.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 33 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll-free from anywhere. Breaking news this morning out of South Carolina.
Extra!
Yes, Cub reporter Chris Lewis.
South Carolina Lieutenant Governor Andre Bauer is going to be issuing a major public statement on Governor Mark Sanford in about a half an hour.
Governor... Yeah. Mark Sanford.
Impeachment.
Yesterday the news was a state senator said he found four more pricey flights by Governor Sanford that violated rules requiring officials to use low-cost travel.
Figure. To any number of little fillies, yes.
Yet another of. Yes.
We all fly over the Appalachian Trail.
Yes. Mm-hmm. He's a fiscal conservative, apparently, for everyone else but himself.
Absolutely. Yes, we have to shrink government. No more big government spending. Little hot government spending is a different thing altogether.
Yes.
Yes.
His personal stimulus package was quite large.
Yes.
Waka waka waka.
You know, yeah. I think impeachment. Otherwise, he would come out. If he was stepping down, I think he would do it himself because he can't. Apparently, he has, you know, verbal diarrhea when it comes to, you know, those kind of things.
People don't want to watch another press conference.
Right.
There's no crying.
They probably talked him down from
politics.
It then. He may, you know, he may be stepping down, but he's just like, dude, we'll tell people. You stay here. But I won't. It's another 45 minutes. I could just ramble on about stuff. That'd be great, wouldn't it? No.
I could say more things that will be helpful to repairing my marriage.
Right. Yeah, like I'll try to fall back in love with my wife.
Whatever.
I'll try to shoehorn my love back into this relationship.
try to put the toothpaste back in that old tube.
Right, yeah, right. You know, we went to a marriage counselor, and I got whiplash from yawning, but I'm really going to give it a shot. I'm going to bring a crowbar to this relationship.
You're off to a good start.
Yes. Well done, lad.
Paul McCartney has lifted the lid on his friendship with John Lennon and denied the pair did not get on. Sir Paul put some of Lennon's outbursts down to drugs and said crap he didn't mean
that's
when
nice.
He was, yeah.
But all, you know. All amazingly high.
Well, nice.
I mean, I was on a cocktail of drugs before that was even hip, you know. Trying everything under the sun. Literally.
House
lay
Sparks.
Out in the sun for hours.
Hal Sparks, yes. Musician extraordinaire.
Yes.
I just thought you would think this is an interesting fun fact.
Uh-huh.
The actual reason he said John and I started writing was because we'd be at a gig and the bands on before us would play the songs we were about
right.
to do.
Yeah.
They were just a cover band.
We've got to come up with other stuff. Let's just make something up. They all sound alike.
Exactly. Something that rhymes.
You know. Well, they're holding hands. Write a song about that really quickly.
Holding hands? What
I want to hold you on that. No, just start singing.
Come get me a diner. Come get me a diner.
Yeah.
We had a congressman.
German.
We had Congressman Keith Ellison on yesterday, who was awesome, of the great state of Minnesota.
Yes.
That urged us to remember that, you know, we do have the power. We absolutely do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. Democrats are planning hundreds of reform rallies. How about that?
Yeah.
Democrats and their supporters launching a national grassroots push to show lawmakers the majority of Americans still support healthcare reform.
Mm-hmm.
They're planning to hold more than 500 events between Wednesday and when lawmakers return to Washington September 8th, ranging from neighborhood organized phone banks to professionally staffed rallies with hundreds of people. The DNC said in these past few weeks of recess, we want to demonstrate the energy, passion, and commitment that the American people have to health insurance reform. So
I'll
that when
there.
Members return after Labor Day, they know that they can turn their attention to getting this done because they have the backing of the American people.
Yeah.
We have the power, to say.
You know, there's so many people who worked so very hard for Barack Obama and getting him elected, and then the minute he was in the office went, see ya, wouldn't want to be ya. So those folks need to stop sitting on the sidelines and complaining that somehow the Republicans are driving the discourse and get back in the game because we all own that change that we wanted.
Mm-hmm. And by the way, you got to counter what's happening at these other counties. Did you hear the latest one with Chuck Grassley? Not only did he repeat the death panel lie,
he said it was the president's fault.
But the other day, he doesn't denounce a guy that makes a veiled threat. He said there was a guy at his, a man named Tom Eisenhower. He said President Obama is acting like Hitler and then told his audience, I'd take a gun to Washington if enough of you would go with me. Grassley doesn't denounce him, doesn't, you know.
If I were you, I would take a gun, too. That's pretty much like Grassley's response to everyone in his audience is to back up exactly whatever they say. And like what was the one, you know, I'm afraid. Well, you should be afraid. I want cake. Cake is a good idea. Thank you, Chuck Grassley.
Right.
Like, yeah.
Yes. Yes, Chris Lavoie. I have more breaking news.
Yes, more breaking news. South Carolina Lieutenant Governor Andre Bauer will call on Governor Mark Sanford to resign, making him the highest ranking official in the state to do so.
Uh-huh.
So.
All right, then.
There you go. That's what's going to happen.
Yes. That's only because the head of the Freemasons doesn't resign.
Yes.
Have you been down that area? Been to North and South Carolina?
Mm-hmm.
The biggest Mason temples you've ever seen in your life. Like, spooky old world. Like, there's got to be a tunnel from here to Atlantis in this building. There has to be.
Speaking of church, Chris, could you take your organ out for me? Another boy, howdy, Hal Sparks. I bet you wish you were at this town hall.
Mm.
Bat crazy Minnesota Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann.
Ooh, yes. Did she start bringing a stripper pole to her town hall yet?
I think that's next.
I do, too.
I need attention! She will be naked for Jesus.
Yes.
She was part of a star-studded teletown hall on healthcare reform. The event billed Keeping Faith with the Unborn.
Mm.
Oh, God.
Don't know what that has to do with health insurance reform. But anyway,
while screwing the barn.
Yes.
Right.
She was joined by North Carolina Representative Virginia Fox, most famous for calling Matthew Shepard murder a hoax. And former Colorado Representative Marilyn Musgrave. She's the one that refused to concede after she lost. That one.
Mm-hmm.
Bunch of about that crazy Republican women.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, she talked about how prayer and fasting will help defeat health care reform.
Oh, yeah.
She called on everyone to get down on their knees and pray that health care reform fails. She then repeated the death panel lie and said, thank God Sarah Palin said that. That's true. She said, we all need to consider that in God's timing that he allowed us as members of Congress to be in a position where we're just here for the specific issue right now. See, God, she has previously said God put her in Congress.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently God put her in Congress to
stop. I think they should go with the fasting thing, permanent fasting.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think that's a great
idea. Well, I think she went with the reason she went with prayer and fasting is because they're both free, and most of her constituents are out of work because of the policies that she and her friends have put in place.
She said, that's really where this battle will be won, on our knees in prayer and fasting.
Sorry.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
I go with that, too.
I stopped snickering at prayer.
All right.
I did. When you said prayer, I stopped snickering. I snickered at knees, but I stopped snickering when you said prayer and fasting.
Yeah.
Just for the record.
Michelle Bachmann said, you be defeatist at any point?
Yeah, right.
Boy. Oh, by the way, speaking of bad crazy far-right representatives, Representative Trent Franks, Republican of Arizona, he was considering a birther lawsuit against President Obama.
Right. Yes. He's rethought that.
He says he has extensively researched a lawsuit and ruled it out and believes Obama was born in Hawaii, but finds it ridiculous that he won't produce his long-form birth certificate, or as Tom DeLay calls it, his gift
certificate.
Will you ask the president to show me his gift certificate?
Oh, yes. Look at these shoes. Watch me make a gay joke, because I'm on Dancing with the Stars, and I'm so insecure in my masculinity that me and Tweety have to make gay jokes because I'm dancing and I'm wearing dancing shoes. There's no guy in Texas who'd wear a heel like this. All cowboy boots have a heel like that.
You moron.
Grow up.
I got these as my gift certificate to Banana Republic.
Yes, I got that as a gift certificate to Danskin.
By the way, essentially, then any certificate that the president's name is printed on would serve as.
Sure. I'm going to send him an iTunes card. I'm going to, and if he doesn't need it, he can re-gift it to the Queen of England.
Right.
Yeah.
By the way, need I mention that the state of Hawaii said that is the long form.
That's what you get.
For the state of Hawaii.
That's what you get when you request one. Yeah, that's what you get. If I didn't have, my mom's old trunk where she keeps all of her stuff, if that had been lost or put, away someplace, or, when I went to camp one year, it had to be put in a plastic baggie till I left camp, and it got lost somehow. If I requested a new one as an adult without my mother getting it for me, this is what I would get.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly.
End of story. You can't get another copy of anything else. That's what they give you.
By the way, as you've all seen the little sign about the president saying, chill out, mother... I got this, and we're still hoping that. You and I, are being shiny, happy liberals, are still hoping that. I have some telling a golf analogy story about health care reform, please?
All right.
Thank you. According to a resident who saw...
Golf clapping already.
The president does tend to have luck as well as smarts.
Yes?
Yes. According to a resident who saw the president play yesterday from the second fairway to the second hole, Obama yelled four shortly before his ball hit a tree. So maybe it didn't start strong. However... Still, the ball landed not far from the green. Caught a lucky bounce.
Wow.
Ah, how about that?
Obama chipped it up with a pretty good chip, and then by her count took three putts to sink it. But that's a tough green. It's a par four, said the resident that lives next to that hole.
Well,
just
there you
saying,
go.
Tough care, health care reform, tough. But the president tends to get a lucky bounce or two here and there.
And I think indicative of, of how the president is. He said it'll take him four. He yelled four. It's going to take me four. He did it in three.
Yes.
There you go. I don't know. I don't play golf.
I don't know what that means.
Yeah. 42. The ricochet counts as the other move. I'm just kidding.
43 minutes after the hour. Back with more with comedian Hal Sparks live in the studio on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Are you having a party or something?
Non-stop.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 48 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Mourning the passing of Senator Ted Kennedy, either, I think, late last night or early this morning. If only there was someone that knew the man that we love. What? Who is it, Jim?
It's investigative reporter Rita, no relation to Bing Crosby.
We love us some Rita Cosby. Hello! Good morning,
Hi,
Rita.
Guys, how are you doing?
No relation to Bill Cosby.
How are you this morning?
You know, I'm doing well, but I was very sad to hear about Senator Ted Kennedy because I was senior correspondent for Fox in Washington for a number of years and covered Congress and spent a bit of time, actually, with Senator Ted Kennedy. I interviewed him, and no matter, you know, however you felt about him, he was one of the kindest men, so personal, and I remember spending a really wonderful couple hours with him one time. I remember with him in his office and just seeing... You know, he was truly a walking history book, and always was very, very kind.
Well, I mean, and, you know, certainly we not only all the bipartisan legislation he worked on, but Nancy Reagan this morning talking about how, you know, her husband and Ted Kennedy could always find common ground and what a good friend he was and all of that. So it is, that's a pretty rare these days in politics.
It is, and you know, that was one of the things too that, you know, here I was on, you know, covering Capitol Hill, and he was one of the few people who it seemed that even when there was a lot of loggerhams at different issues and different problems, and you know, certainly in Washington, there's always log jams on legislation, they would always reach out to Ted Kennedy. And I know people are saying that today, but that was truly the case. I know even behind the scenes, people were saying, okay, gosh, if I could reach out to Ted Kennedy, maybe we could get such and such passed.
Right.
And whenever, you know, on both sides of the aisle, Democrats, whenever they wanted something key, they said, okay, we've got to go to our, you know, the face of our party, the key, you know, epitome of liberalism. And his oratory skills, you guys, they were incredible.
Oh, I know.
Speeches, but even the way he treated his staff was, and I can speak from the things you don't see on camera, his staff loved him. There was such a devotion to this man. And I remember after I got the interview, I got a nice little note afterwards. He just knew how to do the little things that make a difference.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, we were telling, and there were stories earlier about how many people's health care insurance, you know, he paid for personally, and he never told anybody. You know, other people would tell the stories about it. So, you know, you'd have to wonder, I mean, what is your take, Rita? Everybody's saying this is such a huge absence, but on the other hand, people are saying this may reinvigorate people because this is the cause of his life. Do you think it will re-energize this debate?
I think it will re-energize the debate, but I do think he really was such a powerful voice. I mean, even in, you know, since he's been sick, when he was diagnosed May of last year with brain cancer, and I remember everybody was just so stunned with the news. But he was still, from what I understand, even making some calls quite a bit. You know, he went down to Florida to sort of recuperate and do a number of things. And I know that even, you know, even when he wasn't in the Senate chambers, he was still working behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm.
So I do think there's going to be a big, huge void. And I think he was such a symbol to this party. I do think that there's, you know, there's a lot of, you know, young, you know, very vital Democrats that are in the party. I do think in many ways it will rejuvenate things. And I think there will be such an outpouring of tributes, I'm sure, in the next few weeks, next few days, especially to Ted Kennedy. But I think there's also going to be a big, huge void because, again, even though he's you know, we haven't seen his face as much clearly in the last year, year and a half. Despite that, he has been a big power player behind the scenes for Republicans, too. I remember Senator Orrin Hatch, you know, you'd never think you'd see, you know, Republicans sitting out there praising. But today we've been hearing from Senator Orrin Hatch. We've been hearing from Senator John McCain. I mean, everybody, whether they agreed with him or not, they really loved the man.
Yeah, and respected him. I mean, I was remembering what you were saying. The speech was incredible that he was even able to come to at the Democratic convention this past one and how powerfully. Oh, that was amazing, right? The dream rises again, and all that was just really stirring.
And anybody else, you know, it's interesting, Stephanie, you know, I mean, talk about the resilience and talk about the ultimate survivor. I mean, here he lost, you know, two of his brothers assassinated. And I was hearing the stories today about Joe Biden, and not surprised at all. I was just hearing a little bit ago that Joe Biden, when, you know, in his darkest hour, when, you know, he lost his wife and kids and, you know, obviously tragedy, his own tragedy, there he was in the hospital room, and he gets a call from Ted Kennedy saying, you will survive. You've got to stay a senator. Keep going. And that's just who he was. He symbolized sort of the ultimate survivor. Survivor and the ultimate diehard for the cause, and his last breath was going to be for whatever he believed in, and you have to admire a man who felt that way.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I'm glad that he lived to see Barack Obama elected, but boy,
he played a big role.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. But I sure hope that he's watching us when we pass a Ted Kennedy health care bill. But anyway, Rita, thanks for taking time. I know you have to go. You're very busy, very important, very busy, very important. Got to go.
You guys take care. Have
Thank you, Rita.
Day,
there she goes. Investigative Journal, Rita Cosby.
Yay.
Someone came up with a win one for the Gipper slogan, a win one for the Lion.
Okay.
All right. Yes.
Sure. That works.
All right. Yes.
I do think that is a good direction to go, especially in the debate that goes forward, is go, okay, let's look at the type of things that Ted Kennedy has been pushing for decades. Literally from 1980, you can find clips of him fighting for health care reform.
Mm-hmm.
This, anybody, by the way, who says that we're rushing this through and that we're acting too fast, the system has not changed. It has simply gotten worse in the last 30 years. The solutions are all the same. The solutions that the Democrats have been pushing and trying to get through that have been fought back by the Republicans all along have not changed. They've been vetted. They've been looked at. And the Republicans have always said no to it. And we've ended up with a situation where by 2020, your premiums are going to double from what they are now.
Right.
Which,
well, you know, the
and wages will go up maybe 5%.
Mark my words, the right today is going to use the White House and CBO debt forecasts to say this is why we can't do health care. The national debt will nearly double over the next 10 years, government forecast shows on Tuesday. The White House mid-session budget forecast and the nonpartisan Congressional Budget Office both forecast the government revenues will be crimped by a slow recovery from the worst recession since the Depression, while spending on retirement and medical benefits soars. But that's exactly why we have to pass out.
Exactly,
they're
going to
use it as saying, oh, we can't afford it now. Well, that's one of the reasons.
Well, and to people like Jim and myself, it starts to look like they knew this fight was coming, so they decided to, I don't know, create the Iraq War out of nowhere so they could spend a bunch of money so they could have an excuse when this comes up to go, we just can't afford it.
Yeah.
We already spent $1 trillion in Iraq doing nothing.
Well, that was the whole strategy during the Reagan administration, is to spend quadrillions of dollars on defense, there'd be no money left for a social program.
Exactly.
Yep. The White House budget director said, I know there will be some who say this report proves we cannot afford health reform. I think that has it backwards.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's the whole, in case you're not paying attention, the health care reform we're talking about should stem the growth of health care costs.
Well, it also should aid small business growth.
Yeah.
Because it will take that off the backs of a lot of small business people. And so there's a chance that we would make more money in the free market without this shackle on our backs, because all the other countries we're competing against don't have it. They don't.
Yep.
The Japanese were fighting against them in an economic way. They don't have this problem. Neither do the English. Most of Europe. It's
Dick, before you go, another episode of Dick Cheney is popped his head out of the underworld.
Sure, the penguin. Right.
The underworld for a moment.
Wah, wah, wah.
Saying the Justice Department probe and the new FBI unit to handle interrogations were a reminder, if any were needed, of why so many Americans have doubts about this administration's ability to be responsible for our nation's security. Cheney contended the Inspector General's report showed that the severe techniques resulted in the bulk of intelligence we gained from about Al-Qaeda and saved lives.
Which is not true.
Hello, he lied.
Yes. Not even close to true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We got the intelligence before we started torturing them. And
so
the report proves exactly the opposite, that he kept daring them to release the report.
So the most secretive, lying screw-up we've had as a vice president in the last 50 years, we're supposed to believe him now about investigations going on against real crimes that may have been committed. We're supposed to actually believe that the guy who was in charge when 9/11 happened with his little puppet pal, we're supposed to believe him. Yeah, right. I understand. Yeah, I got you. Yeah. We have total faith in what you guys did.
Refused to answer questions under oath from the 9/11 Commission.
And they had to sit together.
Yes.
Yeah.
And no notes.
Yeah. No one can record anything.
Any questions.
Sure. Yeah. Totally believable. Totally. Yeah, I understand.
Yeah.
All right. HalSparks.com for all things Hal Sparks. And who doesn't want all
things
Hal Sparks?
And Hal Sparks on Twitter. You can follow me on there.
All right.
And I'll be here next week.
That's right. Filling in for us on vacation next week.
Absolutely.
That's it for us today. We'll see you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.